Анке Анкештајн е голем љубител на македонскиот фолклор. Родена во Далфорд во Холандија, таа вели од секогаш знаела дека ќе мигрира. Дури на 5 годишна возраст таа имала предскажување дека ќе се најде онаму каде што сонцето грее. Но секако и поради незиниот интерес во другите култури, како млада девојка посетила меѓународен фолклорен фестивал со незината другарка, на кој и двете се запознале со познатиот гајдаџија и фолклорист Пеце Атанасовски. Ги посетувале часовите по фолклор на кореографот Атанасовски, како и на Сика Деспотович, после која Анке одлучила самата да стане инструктор по фолклор. Холандија, вели Анке, располагаше со курсеви по фолклор од Балканот и заедно со незината другарка Анке стана инструктор. Станува збор за 70-те години во поранешна Југославија, за која Анке Анкештајн има само пофални зборови и сеќавања.
City in Holland, you know, with canals and all that.
Yes.
But I was always different. I always wanted to go to the East with my music and my dance. And I was born in Delft, but I knew that I would migrate. I knew when I was 5 years of age that I would go to a country where the sun was shining.
Was it almost like something was calling you to leave?
Very much. Australia was calling me, but also because of my interest in other countries, a girlfriend took me in Holland to an international folk dance festival, and I met Pecha Atanasovsky there. Now, you know, Pecha Atanasovsky was a very famous dance teacher.
And bagpipe player.
Yeah, and bagpipe player. So I took classes from him and also from Sika Despotovic. And then I decided to become a dance teacher because there were courses in Holland that could make you a dance leader.
Now, what decade are we talking about?
Yes, good question. That is in the 70s. My girlfriend also did the same course. So we became both very good dance teachers, especially in the Balkan dances.
So what other cultures from the Balkans were you proficient at teaching?
It was mainly Macedonia.
Yes.
But also the Serbian and the Croatian. So I traveled for that occasion to Yugoslavia. It was then called Yugoslavia under Tito.
Yes.
It was in the 70s. It was absolutely lovely. I mean, I really was bowled over by the friendliness.
Анке купи народни македонски носи во Скопје за незината играорна група, која ја именува Радост. Таа вели ги понесе носиите со себе при незиното доаѓање во Австралија во 1983 година. Незината идеја од секогаш била да формира играорна група во Мелбурн, која, нажалост, вели Анке, не се оствари поради недоволна заинтересираност во фолклорот. Тоа, вели Анке, остана дел од незиното минато, потекнувајќи ја оттаму да замине по друг пат. Секако уметнички. Таа веќе била уметник, но се научи да свири на харфа.
That's where I bought my costumes for my dance group, and mainly in Skopje and Ohrid.
Did you buy these costumes for your own use, or was it for a dance troupe or something?
I had a demonstration group. My dance group was called Radost. And I needed a few of those costumes. They were all so beautiful, you know, like they were hand-woven and hand-embroidered. And some of the jackets had even the name of the wearer. So mm-hmm. Girl's name, I couldn't read the script, but it was very special to me. When I migrated to Australia in 83, I took all the costumes with me with the idea that I would start a dance group in Melbourne, but people were just not interested. It was not meant for me then. It was something that was in the past, and I had to start my own business here, and I became a Delft blue painter. As you know, Delft became very famous for its blue and white porcelain, and I had been trained in that too. So instead of dancing around, I was sitting and painting all the time.
Quite the opposite, yes.
Quite totally the opposite, totally. But I had the music and the tapes and I had it all with me, so I listened to it now and then.
Долги години македонските народни носи на Анке Анкештајн останаа скриени, но сочувани под незиниот кревет во Мелбурн. Реализацијата дека тие нема да бидат искористени и дека по незиниот живот најблиските не ќе можат да се справат со нив на соодветен начин, Анке одлучи да ги подари на музеј во Аделајд. Нажалост, не најде на интерес. Тогаш Анке реши да стапи во контакт со македонската заедница, бидејќи мораше да најде решение за носиите. Посредба со Зоран Здравески од Советот на македонската заедница на Викторија, Анке имаше можност и гордост да ги подари носиите на културно-уметничкото друштво Тоше од западните предели на Мелбурн. Чии играорци на првата средба со Анке ја изненадија со нивниот топол прием и вистинско воодушевување со незиниот дар.
Then I had these beautiful costumes under my bed in a suitcase. And I thought, well, if I go out of this world, I don't want to leave them behind in the hands of family because they have absolutely no idea. The work is gone into these costumes,
yes.
You know. So I contacted a textile museum in Adelaide. I thought that they might be interested to put it behind glass, but they were totally not interested in that sort of ethnic thing. I contacted a few other people, but nobody was really interested. So 4 weeks ago, I thought, now I'm going to really do something about these costumes. I want to give it back to the Macedonian community as a gift. I don't want to have any money for it. So I contacted Zoran Zdravski from the Macedonian Community Council in Melbourne. And he said, to my surprise, Erne, you're not just giving it. We are making it a special feature. I said, really? And you have to come on SBS Radio too. Honestly, I just want to give.
Well, it is such a precious gift, especially for the Macedonian dance groups and Macedonian community, because they certainly do value the workmanship that's gone into the production of one of these costumes.
Absolutely. And coming from Europe, even the doors were handmade, or the door knobs, or you yes. could see the artistry in the work that people did. And I had also learned that if you buy a painting or you buy some artwork from somebody that has put his soul in it, that radiates out towards you. So when you have a beautiful piece of somebody that is handmade, you also have the soul of that person.
The maker.
I nearly had tears in my eyes when Lubsko Kastevsky, the jeweler from Ohrid, gave me one of his beautiful silver jewelry, you know, that special Ohrid filigree, with his name on the back, you know, that was so precious to me. It was like, you know, it was like coming home to my old family.
How beautiful is that?
Yes, yes.
It was a wonderful exchange then.
It was a very wonderful exchange, and it is one that shall always be engraved in my soul. I said to the dance group, I'm a bit rusty in the dances. The only dance I still can remember is Makedonsko Devoči.
Yes.
They laugh because they love that.
Господјата Анкештајн добро го знае и почитува макотрпниот труд потребен за производство на македонската народна носија. А за неа беше многу важно носиите да се најдат во правилни раце.
It was in the back of my mind, the music, you never forget it, you know.
Yes.
I also started to play the harp, I became a very accomplished harp player. I now play those melodies on my harp, Makedonska Devoči, you know.
Do you have a recording anywhere?
No, I haven't, but if you want to, I can make one.
Yes, or we could try and record you.
Yeah. Yeah, I became very interested in the Irish music, Celtic music. A totally other door opened for me.
So you had a musical background in the beginning?
Oh, yes. I came from a family of 7 children. I was the eldest, and we all played an instrument. We had our own home orchestra.
Wonderful.
It was. And that's why the interest in the Macedonian and in the Yugoslav Balkan music.
Yes.
So, you know, when I heard the gavol, you know, the flute, it's just magical to me. And when I heard the women singing a cappella with these special voices, you know, the goosebumps were standing up. I always think that it's something from the very, very, very past that is coming to the surface. I might have had some past lives there, but I just enjoy the music and the dances and the art. Yeah.
Yes, Macedonians are certainly very happy to hear that there are those outside of their culture expressing an appreciation, a deep appreciation for their culture, such as you have for us today, Anke. We'd like to thank you too, and hopefully one day we'll be able to hear you play Makedonsko Devoči on the harp.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
Have you been practicing lately?
No, not much. I will do it again because my life is so busy with other things. I just want to also mention that a Dutch writer, Anton van Dolaert, wrote a lot about Yugoslavia. He wrote The Wedding of the Seven Gypsies and The Orient Express. Yugoslavia was his second fatherland. And it was interesting because when I was in Yugoslavia, I visited in Ohrid that tree that was standing there still, a hollow tree where he wrote a lot of his work. He died 4 or 5 years ago. But he wrote in one of his books that we are connected with each other in a deeper way than we ever would think. And I thought that was a beautiful thought. And I remember that, and I want to tell you about the spiritual experience I had with a dance from Macedonia that was called Nevestinko. Yes, the bright dance. Now, the bright dance, you have to concentrate very hard on your balance because it is like dancing in slow motion. But this was part of the examination, so the examinators were sitting there, and seven of us were standing there, ready to start this dance, and my girlfriend, Alma, was the bride. And so, you know, you hook in with your little finger, the pink.
Yes.
And you raise your arms, and then you start. At that moment, we all felt an electrical current going to our hands. And we have danced the dance as you probably would have never seen it. Even the examinators were bowled over by the unity. It was like we became one body. And Nevestinko for me has still this memory as a great spiritual experience as a non-Macedonian Dutch girl. And that's what I mean, that we have bonds that binds us more than we ever think.
Yes, I wanted to ask you what gives you such an affinity for the Macedonian dance. This binding, I think you've put it in a nutshell, this electricity that you feel as one, when you move as one.
Yeah. It might have been past lives. I'm not sure. But also really attracted to me to Macedonia was that in the flag, they have the sun. And to me, that speaks to me spiritually more than ever about a higher a purpose for a country, like when you have the sun or you have the moon. There's a big difference in that. So I was attracted to that, I think, in the first place, that in Macedonia there was something that I cannot explain in words, but spoke to my heart more than ever, especially the great affinity the people showed towards me when I came there. So I've never forgotten that. I would like to go back.
When was the last time you visited Macedonia?
It was in the late 70s. So they must have changed a lot. I hope not too much. Like, you know, like Holland, probably, because I have no idea what happened when Tito died, and he sort of kept Yugoslavia more or less benignly together. So it would be interesting, as far as I can say, that the Macedonian community that I've met here in Melbourne, I must say, nothing has changed.
Well, Anke, thank you very much for speaking with us here on SBS. We wish you well. Hopefully one day you'll take some time to visit Macedonia, relive some of those wonderful and precious moments.
Yes, that would be great. Thank you so very much, Margarita. And
thank you, Anke.
All my greetings to my beloved Macedonians.
And I'm sure the costumes will be much appreciated.
Yes.
Hopefully the dancers will feel that same electricity that you felt with your fellow dancers.
It is a very special feeling, yeah.
Иако животот на Анке Анкештајн од Холандија тргна по сосема друг пат, сеќавањата за македонскиот фолклор, повикот на оро на македонскиот мелнос, тоа играње за рака заеднички, ќе ја грее до крајот на незиниот живот, бидејќи, како што вели таа, успеа да најде нешто посебно во македонскиот мелнос и култура. Та струја која поврзува.
SBS на македонски. Споделете ги нашите приказни на Facebook.